Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we have been looking at an interesting and sobering story of David in 1 Samuel 21. In this story, it appears as though David has really blown it. Because Saul is trying to kill David, he flees to enemy territory, the Philistine city of Gath. While there, he acts like a crazy man. From outward appearances, it seems like David has really lost it. But from God's perspective, things are different. Why? Because God looks at the heart. David penned two psalms during this time that reveal his heart. As we join Pastor John today, he is speculating as to why David went to the enemy's territory and whether this was a good idea. Here now is Pastor John.
I wonder how many people we have written off. Because they're in Gath, they used to be here with us or in a church somewhere, but now they don't go to church anymore. They're at the tavern. But pray tell, why are they not here? Why are they out there at the bar, in Gath, in the camp of the enemy? Could it be because they found no sanctuary here? They found no sanctuary in our soul, in our heart? Could it be that they said, people talk about me in church, or they look at me kind of funny because I've had spit in my beard and my fingers are stumpy and bloody. I go there where everybody knows my name. People accept me. Nobody's down on me. They actually listen to me. I'll go there. And perhaps some of us right here say, exactly, if you would wrap this up, I'd be on my way. You know, it's true. David had no one standing by. What about Jonathan? Jonathan loved David. Jonathan is a great man. Jonathan is a hero of mine. But Jonathan, one thing he didn't do was saying, David, I will fight for you. Jonathan said, David, I love you, but you need to leave. No one in Israel, evidently, no one said, you have sanctuary with me, David. You can stay here. We'll stand by you. We'll be a covering for you. We'll die if necessary, right here beside you. No, no one did that. David was forced to go into the enemy's territory, to the pool hall, to the tavern, to Tinseltown, whatever it might be. He was forced to go because he couldn't find refuge in Israel. Why? They didn't know his heart. They saw his potential. They thought he was a great guy. But now, have you heard? Do you see? He lies to the priest and the priests are dead. He's down in Gath. Did you hear what he said? He offered himself to the Philistines. No sanctuary. Now you might say, exactly. I agree, John. That's why I'm going to Gath. That's why I'm headed out. Listen, learn from the story. David went to Gath He thought he would find sanctuary there, and guess what? It blew up in his face. See, when you say, I'm going to go off to the Philistine country, the enemy's territory, the world, it's not going to be what you thought. You'll get there and say, hey, I'll be accepted here. That's what David thought. It blew up in his face. Listen, it never works in Gath. It's never what you think. You end up with spit in your beard and blood on your hands. David learned that practically. David, even though that was going on outwardly, even though he was, from our perspective, backslidden, actually, from God's perspective, he said, but there is a man with a heart after mine. And he is writing my Bible. And he's an example of how people just can't know and can't see what's in the soul of anybody. So what am I to do? In light of this story, here's what I must do. I must not write anyone off. I must say, Lord, if you choose to scratch them off your list, if you choose to write them off, that's your prerogative. Because only you see the full story. I don't, I can't. Lord, you alone can make those decisions. My job is not to judge people and write them off. My job is simply to love everybody without exception. I used to think years and years ago, my job as a pastor was to judge people and God's job was to love them. I had that exactly wrong. God says, I will judge them. You don't know who the wheat are or who the tares are, John. And you don't have a clue what's really going on in the soul of the person that you would want to write off. And you don't really see what's in the soul of the person that you exalt or esteem highly. I do. You look on the outward appearance, but I see the heart, you see. Well, then what am I to do, John? Or Lord, what am I to do? John, your job is just to love. Colossians chapter 3, don't turn there, we're out of time, but listen carefully. Colossians chapter 3 says this, verse 12. Put on, therefore, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. What does that mean, bowels of mercies? Sounds kind of gross. It means from the deepest part, the stuff that's really deep within, the place where you really feel most intensely, from that part is to be nothing but mercy. Put on, slip into this garment, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a quarrel against anybody, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. I'm to be merciful and loving, forgiving, forbearing. With who? With everybody. Every part of the body of Christ. Let me ask you this question. I know that you forgive and show mercy and accept and embrace lots and lots of people. But is there someone who you say, he has defected, she is behaving crazily, they hurt me deeply. I forgive and show love and am gracious towards just about everybody, but my ex, spit in his beard. Or the way she, my ex, clawed me. Mm-mm. It would be as though somebody bust through those doors and was hugging each of you and giving away $10 bills to everybody and came right down here to where Jim is sitting and shot him in the head with a revolver. You say, that's awful. The guy is arrested, taken away, put in the prison, brought before a judge one day. And the guy says, hey, judge, back off. Chill out. I was real nice to everybody. I gave everybody hugs and I gave everybody money. Just one guy I shot in the head. But I was nice to a whole bunch of people. The judge isn't going to say, oh, okay, that's good. You were nice to a lot of people. Just one guy you killed. Okay, that's okay. Go your way. The judge is going to say, that doesn't matter. If you were nice to lots of people in the sanctuary, you killed Jim. That's what unforgiveness is towards anyone. A person can say, but I'm nice and I accept them and I embrace her and I've forgiven those guys. If there's anybody, one person, who I say, they're a traitor. His behavior is bizarre. Did you hear what she did? Let me tell you. If I do that to anyone, that nullifies any grace, mercy, and forgiveness that I might have otherwise shown everyone. Forgive. I can't forgive him. I can't. He just keeps hurting me over and over and over again. Master, how often should I forgive my brother? 7 times, said Peter with a big smile on his face. The rabbis taught that you should forgive a person 3 times. So Peter said 7 times. He doubled it and added 1 for good measure. What did Jesus say? 7 times 70, Peter. Now that doesn't mean 490. Don't do the numbers. It means you keep forgiving and 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 forgiving until you can't keep track of how many times you've forgiven, and then you do so again and again after that. Forgive. Why? Because it just might be that that ex-husband of yours is David. No, can't be. He's crazy. He's awful. Let me tell you about the lies he told. David did too. See, we really do not have a clue about what's inside the soul of the person who's 3 rows ahead of you or sitting right behind you. So God says, here's what I want you to do. I'm recording these psalms to let you see that at a time when everybody thought David was backslidden, bizarre, writing him off, crazy, he had something that I esteem. He had a heart for me. He was in love with me. There was poetry in his soul. There was praise on his lips. There was stuff deep within that wouldn't be seen by anyone who was watching him, but I knew was there. And God would say, in my economy, hey, he is great. In just a moment, we are going to take communion. Listen, when you hold that broken body of Christ, take, eat, this is my body. And you put it in your mouth and allow it to go deep inside of you physically. We are saying not simply, Lord, you broke your body for me and I embrace that. You died in my place and I thank you for that. We're saying that it's true, but much more. Listen to me. This is your body. Broken. We all eat of the same loaf, every single Christian. In this church, across this nation, around this world, down the tunnel of history, past or future, either direction. And when I eat this, I'm eating your body. I'm allowing your whole body, Lord, to be embraced and assimilated. Paul talks about that we eat of the same loaf. Jesus said, "This is my body." When I have communion, it's not just about me communing with him. Oh, that's true. But it's also about me communing with you. And not just you, but every single Christian. No matter what they did to me or said about me or whatever I might feel, it's irrelevant. And when you hold that body, I want you to commune with the Lord and say, "Lord, is there anybody that I wouldn't allow into my heart? Any part of your body? Is there some person that I'm critical of? Is there some person I'm down on? Is there some person I'm talking about? Is there some person I've written off? My dad, because I felt... My boss who did that boyfriend, I could kill him. My ex-wife, is there anybody?" If you're not able today to say, "I embrace and accept the whole kit and caboodle because I don't know, Lord, they might be a David in your economy. She might be huge in your estimation. I don't understand that, Lord. But I know I don't see the real soul situation. And so, Lord, I embrace the entire body of Christ. I choose to embrace everyone and be down on no one. I embrace the whole body. This church, the Christian community, believers around the world and across the oceans of history, I embrace." If you don't want to do that, don't eat of the body today. If you say, "I've got a bone to pick, an axe to grind, I don't want to embrace him, I don't want to embrace her, because they are bizarre. With bloody stubs and spit on their face. My body, spit on my face," Jesus would say. "Bloody hands, where the nails went through my hands on that day. Because I paid for that sin. Completely. I dealt with it. Thoroughly. And you don't know what's going on in his heart. I want you to be free just to love him, love them, love her. I don't want them driven further into enemy territory." Yesterday afternoon, a guy was walking down the walkway. I bumped into him right out here. He said, "I'm so glad, John, I bumped into you. I had nowhere else to find sanctuary. I just did a terrible thing. And I thought the only place I can go is the fellowship." And I said, "I'm so glad you've come." Do people feel that way about us? Do they feel that way about you personally? The place I can go when I know I've been acting crazy. I find sanctuary in you. Because you don't write me off. May that be true of Applegate to a greater degree. May it be true of you as a man, as a woman personally. May no one ever feel as though they're being judged, analyzed, written off, put down. as you hold the bread, if you're willing to say, I want to embrace the whole body of Christ. Your body was broken, Jesus, that we might be one, that we might be whole. And so, Lord, as I eat of you today, I'm through with writing people off. And with specificity to say, I've written him off, whisper the name. I've written her off, whisper the name. I've written them off, whisper their names. And I see today that that's not the way it's supposed to be. I embrace them. You say, well, John, I'd like to do that, but I can't. Here's the great news. As you eat of him, if you just want that to be the way that you are, let him do the work in you. As you eat of him, you say, I want this, Lord. You know I'm struggling with this, but I want you to change me. I want to forgive, to accept, and to forgive unconditionally. Everybody. Lord, that's what I desire. I eat of you. Live through me. Work that in me. Lord, you know I'm weak. Maybe you're in Gath right now. Maybe you're at a place right now where you have been in Gath. You're the one that's scratching on the gates, and you're the one that's gone into enemy territory. When you hold that cup, I want you to know, I want you to remember that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for that very sin, that you are forgiven. And now, as you have been forgiven, keep forgiving others. The one who might have judged you. Can I ask you a question? I want to see a show of hands. If you're here today and you say, you know what? At some point, I did something that was crazy. And there was some people that I thought were close to me or friends of mine or whatever that wrote me off for that day or that week or a little bit of time. They gave up on me. And it really hurt. I understand why they did. Has anybody here ever done something dumb? I think most of us have been there. If you haven't been there, your time's coming. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Forgive and you shall be forgiven, Jesus said. Remember how you felt when people misread you. Oh, you admit what you did or said or thought was dumb. There's no question about that. But you knew that in your heart you were a lover of God. And they read you wrong. God didn't. God won't. God doesn't. Why not be here today and say, got it. I've been forgiven. I know what it feels like to be written off or put down. Not going to go there with anyone. I eat the whole body of Christ. And where I have blown it recently, Lord, I thank you for the blood that cleanses me.
It is good to realize that God never writes us off. And it is good to realize that we are not to write off others. It is not our responsibility. We simply get to love people. And both of these realizations can be understood better at the table of communion. Perhaps you will want to take time for communion today and allow God to cement these truths in your heart. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Most of us desire to spend more time in prayer, just talking with the Lord and hearing from Him. But we often struggle in this area of prayer. In order to help us have a more consistent and effective prayer life, Pastor John has a book called Praying Through the Tabernacle. This book shows us a model of prayer that is based on the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a very practical tool for everyone who desires an intimate walk with the Lord. you may order Praying Through the Tabernacle from the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.